Welcome to Journals of a Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. And I must say the hidden genius of our guest today is not very deeply hidden. Lisa Smiraldi is changing and improving the lives of hundreds and hundreds of people. And I just can't wait to let her tell you about how she's doing that and perhaps inspire you to reach a little higher yourself. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you for having me.
Well, just to start out, how did you begin life? Were you born in the Bronx?
Actually, yes, I was. I was born in the Bronx at what used to be called Westchester Square Hospital.
Aha. Well, so how has life been for you in the Bronx? How did you begin? What started your life?
Well, that's kind of interesting because when I was 1 year old, my family moved to Colorado, so my father could go to school. To earn money, they managed a supper club. So I kind of grew up at the back of a bar.
I see. Now that's an interesting beginning. I'm sure you learned a lot about life.
Well, I had a good time. I talked to horses. We had a very varied diet. My father did a lot of hunting, so we had pheasant and squirrel and deer. In addition to the normal beef and chicken and pork.
My mother
tells a story about how if I said I was hungry, she would take a lobster tail out of the refrigerator and give it to me.
I had a
quite varied palate from early beginning.
That's fantastic. That is a great way to begin. I tried to do that with my children too. So when did you come back to the Bronx?
We stayed for the first school year, came back to the Bronx that summer when I was two.
Uh-huh.
We moved back to Colorado for the next school year, and then we moved back to the Bronx permanently when I was three.
Aha. Uh-huh. Interesting. So all of your schooling basically was in the New York public school systems in the Bronx, huh?
Public school, junior high school, a couple of semesters in Lehman College.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to SUNY Fredonia, which is another part of the state school system. So, I think of myself as a product of the New York City and the New York State school system.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm sure you're a credit to it. What did you want to do when you were young? What was your dream?
Oh, wow. What was my dream? I think I had a lot of different things. The normal ballerina, maybe teacher.
Uh-huh.
By the time I got to high school and I was choosing colleges, I
mm-hmm.
had this idea to become an adolescent psychologist.
Interesting.
Yeah. My thinking was, if I understood them, then maybe I would understand myself better.
Now, that's a very deep thought right there. My goodness. So what was the primary force in directing you away from that into what you're doing now?
Well, in between that and now, I've been a secretary or an office manager. I never got to be a psychologist.
Oh,
that unfortunately it never panned out. It just was not truly my interest.
Uh-huh. I see.
I think like other people, I did it for reasons that had nothing to do with what I wanted. I thought that's what I wanted. I thought,
uh-huh.
that, in retrospect, I think maybe I was doing it to make my parents happy.
Oh, that's a familiar refrain.
Yeah. And I thought at the time, I thought I was kind of like above that. But no, I'm just a normal person.
Well, I don't think you're very normal at all. You don't strike me that way. Your energy just is bubbling all over the place.
Thank you.
So what was the thing? Was there any one thing that made you decide to get involved with housing?
It started out as a temporary position as a secretary. I was filling in for someone who had gotten a promotion. They had gone to another department, and so I was the temp, and they were still interviewing for someone, and I was doing such a good job, they decided not to keep looking and to offer me the position.
I see. Uh-huh. And I presume that you did such a good job at that something else came along.
Well, I'm quite satisfied with doing this. I see it as I work to live. It's
uh-huh.
very stable. Salary is good. Benefits are good. Hours are good. I don't have to. It leaves me a lot of time and energy and money to do other things.
Uh-huh. Like what?
Like be a coach on the side.
Aha. Uh-huh. What kind of coaching do you do?
I help people become more present to the life that they want. I help them
mm-hmm.
bridge the gap between where they are and where they want to be.
Oh, it sounds like you've thought that through pretty carefully. And on a personal level, where do you get the most satisfaction of the work that you're involved with?
The most satisfaction. I think what I get out of it is when people, where this little light bulb comes lit in their heads and they get this connection with themselves that they've never had before, when they become present to, when they become present to their ability to make a new choice.
Uh-huh. And have you studied to become a coach?
I've been working with my coach, Sam Goodall, of Living in Passion for the last 2.5 years.
Uh-huh.
Sam
and,
is he's very successful in communication and business coaching. And
mm-hmm.
we've been working together to... for me to understand myself so that I can help other people understand themselves.
I see. Well, it certainly helps a lot if you're going to reach out to other people, if you have a pretty clear idea of a goal, you know.
Yeah.
If you're standing in a pretty safe place within your own with your own reality. You certainly have plenty of room to give other people room, I would say. You know, so many times you feel in competition with other people, and I don't sense that in you at all.
Thank you. I'm not in competition. I'm in cooperation.
My
objective is to guide people to being present to where they are, become aware of what they want, and we together create a pathway between today and the future.
I see. And, of course, today is, for you, is very different than it was, say, 20 years ago, wouldn't you say?
Oh, God, 20 years ago? I don't know if I'd ever want to meet myself of 20 years ago. I didn't know that I had choice. I thought this was the best I could do. I didn't know that I could think about my life any way I wanted to. I believe that the path that I had fallen into was the path that I was stuck with.
Yeah, you were settling. You were caught
exactly.
Between. Yeah, yeah. Caught between having to pay the bills and.
Exactly.
How many of us do that? How many of us live right there and never stick our head up out of the rut?
Yes. Yes.
So, when did things begin to change for you?
Things started changing when I became aware of a repeating pattern. I've tried psychotherapy. I've tried group therapy. I've tried some other modalities, and they would work for a little while, maybe a year or two. And then I notice I slide backwards. One step forward, one step back.
Yeah.
And I got tired.
Mm-hmm.
I got tired of not getting the change, the sustainable change that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking for something different. And
how did you go about that?
Well, I switched from psychotherapy to seminars and different ideas like the Tantra and some other life coach people who have large programs. And that expanded my outlook and my understanding more, but it still wasn't getting me what I wanted. I didn't want to follow somebody else. I wanted to be the leader in my own life, choosing things that required me to be a follower.
Yeah.
And that's not satisfactory for me. I want to be a leader. I want to be in the front, in charge, making the decisions, choosing. I want to be the one who chooses. And
I think that's remarkable. I really do.
Thank you.
So, obviously, when we start out on this self-realization track, We make decisions and then we find out, well, maybe that wasn't such a great idea, and then we make another decision, and step by step we gradually find ourselves in a totally different place. And
yeah.
I suspect you've been doing that for quite a while. It sounds as if you have.
Well, it requires a desire to get someplace else. So it's almost like testing. You keep testing things to see how it fits, how it feels. Does it work with what you want? Does it put you where you want to be? It requires a bravery of experimentation.
You know, so many people wrestle with this discontent, and they try something that didn't work, and so they give up. Why didn't you give up?
Oh, God, why didn't I give up? I didn't give up because I didn't want that to be dissatisfaction. Giving up is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Giving up does not fit in my desire to have a bigger, better life.
Uh-huh. Well, so what do you do when you are confronted with someone else who is discouraged?
Oh, I start asking questions. I start asking questions about what they mean by discouraged, what part of their lives isn't working, what they think they want, what they think they don't want. I start asking questions that get them to think about the potential, what the possibilities can be. What would you have if you had what you think you wanted? What would you have if you didn't get it? I ask a lot of questions.
It sounds as if you maybe started out asking those questions to yourself, huh?
Well, yeah, because I realized, well, it took a lot to just to be aware that I was not moving forward, even though I was trying all these different things. It takes a lot to take the moment. It's one of those, like, the unexamined life is not worth living.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to live an unexamined life.
And so many people that I've known, they go to a workshop or a seminar, and they come out just glowing with what a workshop high. And 3 days later, they look around and nothing's changed.
I've had that experience, yes. You have to be careful about where you go and who's providing the information. Are they giving you material that you can implement? Or are they just, it's almost like a moment's drug, you know, like
mm-hmm.
when you drink a beer.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
Do you want the high of a three-hour seminar that lasts 3 days, or do you want to experience something that provides sustainable growth, something that's going to put you on the path to where you want to go in a way that keeps you moving forward?
And how do you manage to keep people on that path? Because it seems like so many people are in a fix-me mentality. They go to the doctors to get fixed. They go to a life coach to get fixed.
Okay, that implies that you're broken. I don't work from that position. Nobody's broken. Nobody needs to be fixed. However, based on the way society is structured, if you're not careful, you can pick up the messages that are out there and come to believe that they are your personal philosophy. You have, it's very difficult sometimes to recognize that you have choice. And that it's choice that creates living, that allows you to interact with yourself, interact with other people, interact with the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. So you work with people who are ready to do the job, huh? Do their part.
I work with people who are very similar to me. Where what they used to do doesn't work, and they don't know what to do to make changes. They need help choosing new choices, choosing new changes, going in a new direction.
That seems to apply to it at least 70% of the population.
Wonderful.
I mean, how many people do you actually encounter on a daily basis who are just charging right down their path, full steam, saying, "Wahoo! Tomorrow is better than yesterday because I'm going to make it that way, and I'm doing everything I'm big enough to." How many people do you ever encounter there in that state of being?
I don't really pay attention to the numbers. What I do is I keep asking questions, and not everybody wants to change. The people who want to change are the people who are paying attention to the questions I'm asking and say, "Oh, why are you asking me that?" Or, "Oh, you know, I didn't think about it that way." Or, "Oh, I could do that differently." It's almost like a new, you know, it's a new frequency. You got to get on the right frequency.
It's a whole lot different than "don't rock the boat," isn't it?
Oh, God, "don't rock the boat." Okay, the boat is it's worse than vanilla. I don't care. "Don't rock the boat" is I don't care enough about myself to examine what's going on and decide whether it works or doesn't work.
Or maybe I don't have the courage to do something that might upset my whole life and mess up the little bit of safety and security that I have.
Yeah, but safety and security is separation and pain and dissatisfaction.
It's a form of spiritual imprisonment to me.
Yeah, it might be cozy in your little black hole, but you're the only one there.
Oh, yeah. But there are those who insist that the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
Yeah, but you don't have to live with that devil if you don't want to.
Why should you live with any devil when there's an angel out there saying, "Follow the light"?
You just got to figure out what that light means for you, and then you it's like I don't even believe in the devil.
It's just an expression. It means that what. Even the bad situation that you're living in may be safer than the than that crazy, unexplored territory out there that you don't know a thing about.
Yes.
It's timidity. It's settling for the timidity and settling for what is instead of what could be, I think.
Yeah.
So how do you shake people out of that?
You have to allow yourself to examine what you have now and decide if it serves you well. And if it doesn't, to figure out why it doesn't and why you're still doing it. Because from my personal experience, if I'm doing something, it's because it has some kind of service to me. It does something for me, even if I don't like what it does. It does have some kind of value. And first I have to acknowledge to myself that, yes, I do this. Yes. It doesn't serve me very well, and then I have to be very accepting of myself that that's what I've been doing, and then decide to change it.
Yeah, beating yourself up is an exercise in futility. It prevents you from having all the energy to do something new.
Yeah, I don't believe in beating myself. I believe in examining it, accepting it, and making a conscious choice that I want to change. But there's no reason to beat yourself up. We all do things that we may not like, but we do them for good reasons.
Or at least we think they're good.
Yes.
Somebody told us it was good. Somebody told us that was the way things worked.
Yes. Just recently, I figured out that my fear, like, I was very afraid to do this with you. And I realized that it stems from when I was a child, and I would get the wrong kind of attention for trying to get attention. And I was thinking to myself that oh, my God. Who knows how many people are listening to this, and I'm going to be very exposed. And then I realized, wait a minute. But that's exactly what I want. I want to be exposed. I want people to know that I want to be of service. I had to work on this with my coach, Sam, to reframe it so I could feel good about you choosing me to do this.
Well, first of all, you have to start with the assumption that I'm the hostess here, and when I'm the host of this show, and why would I invite you to be my guest if I didn't feel that you had something special to contribute?
Well, that's the thing, Mary. I couldn't even get past my fear to get to your positive invitation.
Congratulations. This right here, you are demonstrating something very powerful to the audience.
Thank you.
When you were confronted,
I was very worked up.
Yeah, no. Remember, you said, "Why do you want me to be a guest?"
I couldn't get my fear to see that you wanted to share what you had experienced with me with your listeners.
Right.
All I could think of was, "Oh my God. What is this? Why do I want to, you know, what does she want? Who am I that she wants me?" And the more I realized I was afraid of it, the more I said to myself, I have to do it. But I had to work on it with my coach.
You know, Eleanor Roosevelt used to say, make sure that you do at least one thing that you're afraid of every single day.
Yeah.
Look where it took her.
There's a lot of value in not confronting so much, but standing in that place. Standing in the fear and allowing yourself to feel it, to experience it, to use it, to help you go where you want to go. Fear, there is value in fear.
There is, absolutely. It's a very, very valuable tool that helps us to alert us to danger and to make us aware of things that desperately need taking care of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a little red flag. You got to pay attention to this. Look at this deeper. Look at this more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Open this book.
Instead of just sliding by and accepting the status quo. Mm-hmm.
Or running away from it.
Oh, yeah.
People do turn their back on fear, and they deny themselves opportunities for growth.
Yes. This is true. They just, when you avoid confrontation, you live to fight another day, but how well do you fight that day? When you're approaching it with the same attitude and the same tools that you had today.
Yes. We have just so much time on this earth. Should not be wasted.
This is true. So we pass this way but once.
Yeah, and I've gotten to a point where I want to matter more to myself, and I also want to matter more to other people. I want to make a difference. I want to be a leader who makes a difference in other people's lives.
And I believe that you are doing that. I just sense that you do touch lives, and you do support people in being who they are instead of a carbon copy of a diagram of what a person of that nature should be. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So many times people want to pigeonhole you. If I could say of all things that people have said to me in my lifetime, the most repetitive is, you just don't seem to be the type to da 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 whatever we're talking about or whatever I'm doing at the moment, because they try to think of me as a certain type, and I would say, but I'm not a type. I'm an individual. I'm completely, uniquely individual.
Yes. That's usually someone who needs you to fit a certain place for them to be comfortable.
That's right.
They're uncomfortable with being
uncomfortable. Exactly right. Yep.
And to keep themselves safe, they need to categorize.
Yep.
Label.
Exactly. So I have a very important collection of characters. I figure if a person isn't a character, why bother? You know?
Wow.
Because if we're let loose, we all start out as characters. We all come in here with our unique gifts, and the whole purpose of this this time that we spend together is to in some way reconnect with the greatness that we came in with. And by the time they house train us and brainwash us into acceptable behavior, it's gone. It just vanished like a soap bubble, you know?
Yeah.
So I think we need to reconnect with our real selves, our real, our beingness, you know?
Yes, very good, our beingness. Yeah, a lot of people are very unaware of what their beingness is. It's a really fun thing when you start discovering what your beingness is. I had to make friends with the parts of myself that society says I'm not supposed to like, but they're all part of me.
Uh-huh.
We all have the good and the bad and the ugly, and if you make friends with it all, it becomes tools you can use instead of baggage you have to pull behind you.
Yes, or a little contraption that you live in and you carry around. You walk around in that circumscribed version of yourself.
Yes. Yes. A very limited, created by other people, small, stuck in a box kind of life.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as Thoreau said, most people live lives of quiet desperation.
Yes. Yeah, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of desire to say, I don't like this, I want something different.
And to go about making the changes that will lead to conquering that
yes.
situation and moving into a new one.
Yes, but the great thing is, you don't have to do it any faster than you want to do it. You, whoever is my client, they choose how fast they go.
Mm-hmm. Which just, I just flicked me into a thought of the, you know, you're working with housing. One of the things that shocked me was that people who were living in slum conditions, who were given a nice, clean apartment, turned it into a slum. I was stunned by that, you know.
I'm sorry, I can't speak to that. I don't know anything about that.
It's a shock. I think that no one ever told them that they were in charge of their new reality, you know, that it was there. Yeah. What do you think?
Okay. But also, if you don't know that there are other choices, you only keep repeating what you've been taught, what you've been given.
Exactly. And if you keep living the same way, you will find yourself and altering whatever circumstances you're into fitting into your version of reality.
Yes. Yeah,
so,
it takes a lot of energy to examine, compare, contrast.
Because it's work. It is
yes.
definitely work. Building a new life. Discovering things that you didn't know were there, using muscles that you didn't know you had, including brain power, including intuition, and including various emotional responses that are different from what you grew up expecting.
Yes.
That's work.
Yeah, but I'm on my personal level, what I've done for myself, it's been such, I've spent X amount of money, but I've gotten tons more in return.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
It kind of happens that way, doesn't it?
And I didn't expect it. I never realized that learning so much about myself would be so beneficial, not just to me, but to the people I work with.
Well, what did you expect?
I had this idea that I would need to learn about the other. And there is no real other. It's me. And the more I know about me, the more I'm able to see me in other people. And when I can create this commonplace with me and someone else, the benefits are immeasurable.
Yes, they are. Yes, they really are.
It's creating a connection with someone else on a level that says, I know what you're dealing with. I dealt with it myself. This is what I did. What can we do with you? How can we help you get where you want to go?
Uh-huh. So how do you feel that your increased awareness and your comfort with yourself affects other people in your job? You just mentioned that.
I don't get upset about very much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm easy to work with. I get things accomplished. It's made a big difference at work. It's made a big difference in my life. Can you imagine living a life without anger?
It's a little hard to imagine that nothing would make me angry.
It would be nice to say nothing, but my trigger sensitivity has gone down so much.
There you go. What you're saying now is that you have mastered and understood the cause and effect and the reason that you used to get angry at certain things. Is that right?
That is a lovely way of putting it, Mary. Thank you. That's exactly what it is. I understand what it is that makes me angry, and 99% of the time, it's not the moment, it's what the moment is reminding me of.
Absolutely. The reverberations from other difficult situations that you still haven't recovered from. Yeah.
Because nobody knew there needed to be any recovery. Nobody knew there needed to be any processing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Once I've done the processing and I've, like, examined, oh, this reminds me of that, I got upset then. That's why I'm getting upset now. But now
and
is not then.
Then
is not.
Yeah.
Now.
But
and
what,
like,
what
oh.
you're what you what you're saying right now is that you have the perception of patterns. It takes a certain maturity to actually see that this is a pattern, that really doesn't make sense.
Yes, and that it no longer serves, because bringing to the moment has nothing to do with this moment. It's actually present. It's kind of like it's just being aware, being in the moment, not thinking about what happened yesterday and not thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow.
And have you noticed how so many people are stuck in the patterns and the behavior that worked when they were five? Or
yes,
two? A tantrum that worked when you were two doesn't work when you're 42.
And that you don't have to live in a place of reaction.
There you go. That's a perfect
I recognize
example.
That I was living
mm-hmm.
in a place of reaction, and that if I just took a moment, examined the situation, had a momentary check-in with myself, I could choose a whole different behavior, a whole different action, a whole different response.
It took a lot of work to get to really get that far along the way from where you
yes.
began. That's remarkable.
Oh.
Human.
There were times when I get pissed at my coach and he didn't do anything but remind me of something.
Well, that's the worst offense of all, to remind you. Of something that you haven't mastered yet? Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
How dare you? And then
I am committed to learning about myself. I'm committed to being in service to other people. I'm committed to caring about people having bigger and better lives.
Oh, that's beautiful. Do you have a website?
Not yet. I'm working on it.
Okay. How do people get in touch with you?
You can give me a call, 347-613-4434. Or you can email me at lisa@livinginpassion.net.
Well, it sure does sound like you are living up to that expression already. But I really do see tremendous potential for the path that you're going, and I see that there is so much more that you are ready and willing to take on, and that you expect to be better and stronger and freer tomorrow than you were today. And that's an exciting thing to see.
Thank you. It's very exciting. When I have moments that I used to handle one way and now I handle them differently and I do them automatically.
That's great.
And I'm looking forward to the day when I don't remember the past.
That's what we call moving from unconscious ineptitude to conscious control, I think. That's absolutely marvelous. Conscious competence to unconscious incompetence to conscious competence.
I'm unconscious competence. But I do it so automatically.
Yeah. So I would love to hear about some of the results that you've had with your clients.
One client believed that her health and her marriage and her job and her social circle were all separate and that one had nothing to do with the other. And at the end of 3 months of working together, she now believes that everything impacts everything else, and she's planning on opening a bakery.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That is fabulous. Oh, that's just absolutely delightful. Do you have more?
That's that's the one that really comes to mind. That's my most recent.
Well, you've definitely assisted that one person in changing her perspective and her reality, and that's marvelous. It's my goodness. What kind of a job was she?
She works in the entertainment.
I see. Okay. And what you were going to say, you only change what?
I only changed what she wanted to change.
You gave her the courage and the opened the possibilities.
Yes.
And I'm sure that you were there when she needed you. Which
yeah,
is what coaching is all about, isn't it?
Yes, it's like you want to make a change. I'm going to hold your hand and travel part of the way with you so that you can, like, build the muscles, like you were saying before, build the muscles to do it on your own.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very good. I remember some rather effective coach saying, I'll be your training wheels, but be darned if I'm going to carry you on my back.
Yeah. That's not what I want to do. That's not what I should be doing. It doesn't help you if that's what I'm doing.
That's right. No matter how grateful that they are, they've lost when you do it for them.
Yes. Some people want that, and good for them. I wish them well in their endeavors.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking towards sustainable growth that leads to long-term change.
That's terrific. So how do you get your clients? How have you built your practice so far?
By talking to them the same way I talked to you that day.
Mm-hmm.
Just start a conversation. Ask questions.
And
find out what's going on.
Yeah.
People love to talk about themselves.
It's their favorite subject, huh? Let me twist your arm and get you to talk about you.
Yeah. Not so difficult.
So then, where do you see yourself in the near future? What's your short-term goals?
Short-term goals? Pick up some more clients. Keep working
mm-hmm.
with the clients I already have. Keep making a change. Keep making a difference.
That sounds good. You have 20 years service with the state of New York. I presume there's a point where you can retire with a pension, maybe?
Yeah, it's kind of complicated. It's one of those, I have the years, but I don't have the age.
Uh-huh.
And then
oh, dear.
If you retire early, you take a cut in your benefits. It's a really complicated thing.
Uh-huh. Well, it seems to me that you have a very clear path that you're traveling at the moment, and it seems to me that you're also open for whatever comes along that will seem to have the potential to make you more effective as a coach and as a human being.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I'm a lot more open to the potential than I used to be. And I think if you had asked me back then, I would have said no. And now it's I welcome that kind of uncertainty. Because it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to push away. I like the unknown. I want to know what's on the other side.
Oh, well, that sounds kind of familiar. Sometimes it almost is to be careful what you ask for, you might get.
I know. The universe has a sixth sense of humor.
It sure does. I got more than I expected. I'm telling you, my world just turned totally upside down.
Wow.
My favorite spirit guide has a saying, some things have a peculiar way of being right. Sometimes they start out looking like a disaster. So you never know. If something
you never know, yeah. They start out looking like a disaster, and they turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Exactly. Yep, they sure do. So when you understand that on a deep spiritual internal level, it gives you a kind of a stability and a sense of. Someone that can be counted on. That's my feeling about it.
Thank you. It starts with me being able to depend on myself and knowing that I'm committed to myself, and that allows me to be committed to others.
That's what beautiful.
I can't serve them unless I've served myself.
That's right.
So I'm always working from a position of what do I need.
If you could speak directly to our audience, what would you tell them? Your best advice.
Give it a try. Give it a try, give it a chance. Allow yourself to examine the potentials. Be open to it.
Great. And it looks like we're just winding up here, and I usually like to end these sessions with a little bit of guided imagery. So if you're willing to go along with it, close your eyes. And tense your whole body. Just let your whole body become a fist. And when you feel it, the trembling, collapse like a rag doll. And breathe, being totally, totally aware of your breath. And just float on that breath like you were surfing. Just float on the breath. Float in and blow away all the tension, all the negativity, anything that might come between you and the absolute best you can be. All the negative thoughts, all of the criticism, all the just dump it, just let it go. Breathe in again and just floating on that breath deep, deep inside through the layers of consciousness into that beautiful, safe space within where nothing can possibly harm you. And just recharge. Just let it fill you. Let it expand your sense of who you really are. And very, very gently, begin to float back out, upward and into what we commonly think of as normal consciousness. Holding on to that beauty, that power, that love that you just were submerged in. And stretch, wiggle your fingers and toes, take a deep breath, open your eyes, and thanks so much, Lisa, for this time we spent together.
It's been a lovely time, Mary. Thank you.
And we always close with love and light.